Lord, we're desperate for you today. We want you to move in our hearts, in our lives. Would you turn with me to the epistle to Galatians, the 5th chapter? Brother Steve, in the adult class this morning, I encourage everyone, we didn't get very far in the chapter, to read the chapter, and we're going to spend a little time in the chapter. What is before me is the latter part of the chapter. And what is going on in this church is they had some false teachers that were trying to bring back tradition, the law, the Judaizers, to bring back the law into the worship. And it was causing, this church was in turmoil. There was division. And in the 13th verse, it says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." There was just battles going on, and people were at odds. And here, the Holy Spirit gave Paul this direction to what to say to the church, and it begins in the 16th verse. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would." And I want to pause here for a moment. There are two natures within us. When we become regenerated, born again, baptized with the Holy Ghost, let me be specific. There are two natures within us. The old nature, the fleshly nature, desires the things of the flesh, the things of the carnal mind. And the new nature, implanted by the Holy Spirit, that desires the things that are holy and righteous. And they're the contrary. They're polar opposites, one to the other. So that you cannot do the things you would. There was no battle before the Holy Spirit came. There was no battle before regeneration. There was no battle. We did what we pleased. There was no, you know, we had conscience. Yeah, we had a conscience, but you know, that was not a big deal. We did what we pleased. But when the Holy Spirit came in, when the Lord worked in our hearts and began to witness to us, and we understood the holy nature of God and His presence lives within us, then there was conflict. Then there was a battle. Because the flesh wants to do what it wants to do. And the Spirit of God is saying, no, that's not right. The Spirit of God, the truth teller, is saying this doesn't satisfy God. This isn't the right way. This isn't the holy walk. These aren't the things that please God. And Paul is saying, writing to this church, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God lead you. And the Holy Spirit will just not be forceful and take over. The Holy Spirit wants to be dependent upon. He wants us to yield and surrender. It's not He's battling through our minds. He's there. He wants to help us. He wants to strengthen us. But we, you and I, have to allow Him. We have to say, Holy Spirit, take over. We have to surrender our lives, our thoughts, our ideas, our admonitions, everything. We have to surrender to Him. Holy Spirit, have your way in us. Praise God. Let me go on. "But if ye be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law." We had a long discussion this morning about being under the law, the works, traditions, those things. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." Now, it's not an exhaustive list. It's representative, "and such like." There's more. And I'm not going to go through each one of these. We've done that before. You understand, these are not good things. of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm going to read that again. Which I have told you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Do you understand what that means? We stop at murders, fornication, adultery. Yeah, those are bad things. Yeah, nobody, they're very few, rare that, yeah. But what's the rest of the list? All those things, the works of the flesh, those that practice, those that exercise in those things will not inherit the kingdom. How specific can you be? Will not inherit the kingdom. Lord, help us. Free us from those things. Let me go on. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Pause here for a moment. The fruit, singular, indicating that these qualities constitute a unity, all of which should be found in a believer who surrenders his life to the control of the Spirit. It's not fruits, it's fruit. They all belong. They all belong. Notice the way he talks, the works of the flesh. Things we do, the works of the flesh. Whether it's physical things, our thoughts, actions or thoughts, works. But the fruit of the Spirit, we don't produce. The fruit of the Spirit is produced in us. How? By the operation of the Holy Spirit. You and I can't produce fruit. Impossible. Has to be by the Holy Spirit. Can a person not baptized with the Holy Spirit have fruit? Well, let's go to the Word of God. In Romans, Paul writes, in the 7th chapter, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. The only one that can produce the good things are the Holy Spirit, things that the blessings from God. In the 15th chapter of John, the first part of that chapter is so beautiful. He gives an excellent illustration, and I know we're familiar with it. The vine and the branches. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in me. It talks about the close relationship that Jesus wants to have with his church. The vine. The branch, we're the branches. And we're not just hung on the vine. We're attached to the vine. The life-giving flow of the sap that goes up in a tree is in the branches. It goes out. The branch that doesn't have any sap flowing through it dies. You can see it. It withers. It turns brown. There's no fruit. So it is in the spirit, in the spiritual sense. Being in Christ. Having Christ's Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit. It brings forth fruit if we allow it. And he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For what without me you can do nothing. You know, we hear the expression, well, they're good people. He's a real good person. By whose standards? You know, by human standards, that's probably true. Not the standards of God. To produce spiritual fruit has to come from the Holy Spirit, because we just read in Romans, nothing good dwells in me and in you. Nothing. Because of our corrupt nature that we inherited from the original parents, God didn't try to repair the old nature. He gave us a new nature. The old nature was beyond repair. He gave us a new nature. Praise God by the Holy Spirit. Behold, all things become new. Praise God. Let me go back. To produce fruit, to be fruitful. And in that 15th chapter, you read more. It talks about the vine dresser, the Father purges the dead branches, and that we may bring forth much fruit. That is our mission. God calls us to be fruitful, to bear fruit. Fruit so others can see and be blessed. The fruit you bear is for others. The fruit that is generated, that the Holy Spirit produces in you by allowing the Spirit of God to move you. By allowing the Spirit of God, by surrendering your will and your thoughts, your ideas. The Holy Spirit produces that fruit that others can be blessed. Praise the Lord. Let me read on just a moment. And they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its affections and lust. Maybe you've seen this game at the arcade. I don't want to be flip. I'm not trying to be flip here. This game at the arcades, different circuses or whatever. They got this board, kind of a square, rectangular board. It's got 9 or 12 holes in it. And there's these little things that pop up randomly. You've seen those? You've seen those? They pop up randomly, and they give you a mallet. I'm not really sure what the point of all that is, why to do that, but you got to beat it down. I guess if it gets up and you don't hit it, you lose points or whatever. I don't know. That's not important. But I think as Christian, if I could put that in a spiritual sense, that board is a type of the flesh. And all those little things that pop its head up, envy, jealousy, strife, pride. The mallet is the Holy Spirit. And you take that mallet, there's pride, whack. There's jealousy, bam. There's backbiting, wow. It's a constant battle. It never lets up, because the flesh is with us all our lives. Humanity is humanity. The old nature will never change. Gossip. Lies. Quarreling. Judgmental. Beat it down. All those that are Christ have crucified the flesh. What do we have to do? Crucify the flesh. Crucify. It means to kill it. Not kill ourselves. Kill the works of the flesh. Subdue them. Keep them under. That's what Paul was saying to this church. You got problems. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. What? To walk in the Spirit, you have to be baptized with the Spirit. The Spirit has to reside within you. How important is the Holy Ghost? Oh, brother and sister, we need it. We can't live without it. Without me, you can do nothing. If you're not in the vine, The flow is not through you and the fruit will not be produced. Well, Brother Ron, that's kind of judgmental. No, it's the Word. It's the Word. What's the Word telling us? Walk in the Spirit. Well, Brother, I'm not baptized yet. Seek the baptism. God wants you to be baptized. He wants to bless you. It's not for a certain limited few. It's not for the elite. It's for everyone. What was Peter's message on the day of Pentecost? Let me go to it. I love it. It's so simple. This is the modern church world has perverted it. Modern church world has invented a new approach. The modern church world says, say the sinner's prayer and you're saved. That's it. You're going to heaven. It's all over. Is that what the Word says? No, that's not what the Word says. The Word says, and Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Repent. Everywhere we find in the Word of God, there's correction. It's repent. Repent. The six churches, seven churches in Revelation, repent. Revival can't come unless there's repentance. And that takes humility and soul searching. Lord, where am I? Lord, what do I need to shed? What do I need to repent of? Nothing? It's easier not to ask ourselves that question because we know the answer. If I don't ask the question, I don't have to face the guilt. Not so. Because the Holy Spirit that is around you, maybe you're not baptized yet, but the Holy Spirit around you is going to be saying, wait a minute, hold it. It's not right. I'm speaking. I'm trying to get your attention. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What gift is that? What they just saw on the day of Pentecost. They were all filled with the Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Every one of them. All these Jews that came from all over the world heard it. 19 or so languages, they heard them speak the glory of God, language they did not learn. Divine manifestation of God's power. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to some of the EFGA. Oh, wait a minute, it doesn't say that in there, does it? And to all that are afar off, even as many as our Lord God shall call. Let me tell you for sure, because you're here this morning, there's no question you have been called. No question. You're hearing the Word because you have been called. You're hearing the truth because you have been called. God is speaking to you. As He has spoken to everyone that has attended this church and many other churches that love the Lord and worship Him in spirit and in truth. When you hear the Word, it's not by accident. It's not a circumstance. It was not, well, one of those things. I started dating this young fellow and you know what? He brought me to a church and here I am. No, that's not it. God had a plan. God put you in a place where you can hear the Word because you are called. And the calling is getting louder and louder and louder as the days grow short and the time comes close to its soon return. The call is going out. And we the baptized
ought to be praying for revival like never before. We ought to be praying for the baptism to fall. We ought to be praying for hunger and thirst. We ought to be praying for new souls. Because if we're to be fruitful, the Holy Spirit is imploring us. The Holy Spirit is telling us, walk in the Spirit. Be surrendered. Be yielded to the Spirit. Let me do my work. Let me use you as a tool in my hand. Let me use you to propagate the gospel message. Oh, glory to God this morning. It's not saying the sinner's prayer. It's not accepting Jesus as your Savior. That's modern. That's the new way. You see, the controversy is the baptism. The controversy is the baptism. This baptism of the Holy Ghost, we got people saying, well, it died with the apostles. It's no longer necessary. Oh, God's got two kind of churches. He's got the early church that had the baptism, the latter church that had the baptism. That doesn't even make sense. The Word says, same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He doesn't have a message. He doesn't have a word for the early church and a word for the latter church. It's the same word. Modern inventions. Because the baptism is controversial. And so on. Some Pentecostal church, it's good if you get it. Nothing wrong with that. It's good if you get it. But if you say the sinner's prayer, give your heart to Jesus, you're as saved as you're ever going to be. Show me that scripture, please. Someone, show me that scripture. It's not in the Word. Peter said it on the day of Pentecost. Men and brethren, what must we do? What is this? What are we seeing here? These people seem like, well, have they lost their minds? Oh no. They're not drunk. It's only the third hour of the day or sixth hour of the day, whatever it was. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. The scripture confirms the scripture. If you have a question, if you have a dilemma of do I need the baptism or not, you need to address that question. You can't let that question linger on. You can't let that issue just go away. You can't ignore it. Do you need the baptism? Do I, as a person that loves Jesus and want to serve Him, do I need the baptism? Amen. And the answer from the scripture in my mind is overwhelmingly yes. Amen. You need it. For without me you can do nothing. Unless you're in the vine, you can't bear fruit. And what does it say about the works of the flesh? These that practice these things will not what inherit the kingdom. So if you live in that, what does Paul writes in Romans? If you live in the flesh, you're going to die. Not physical death, spiritual death. I'm going to close. Brother Ron, you're getting too excited. I can't help it. God wants to do. He wants to bless. Let me read the last description. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you live in the Spirit, if you're baptized, that's what he's saying. If you're baptized, let us walk in the Spirit. What kind of walking is that? It's purposeful. It's like soldiers in line, in order, purposeful. We sing that song once in a while, we're marching to Zion. We are. We're the church of the living God. We're the army of the righteous.
Oh yeah, we got our faults, we got our failures, but we're not practicing sin. We're practicing trying to live right. We're practicing asking the Spirit of God to help us and strengthen us to overcome ourselves.
Because all these things, our humanity, they're still with us. And we got to beat them down. Jealousy, hatred, emulations, various wrath, seditions, backbiting, speaking evil of one another, lying, pride. We got to beat it down. And the only way you and I can do it is by the power of the Holy Ghost.
Even with the Holy Ghost, if we're not surrendered, those things,
it will come to fruition. And the heart, which is deceitfully wicked and desperate above all, will make excuses for our behavior. Well, she said, you know, she really hurt, but that was really wrong of what she did to me.
That's not where we stay. If you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Church, get united. Church, walk in the Spirit. You're going to let these things fester. You're going to let these things destroy you. You're going to let these things bring the church down. Warning them, church, come on, wake up. Walk in the Spirit. Let the fruit of the Spirit just be manifested in you. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Lord, help us this morning. Would you baptize those who are not baptized and those who are struggling with this thought, those who are not convinced, those who have a question. It's not wrong to question God. I'm not demean anything. It's okay to question. But we have a Father who loves us so very much, who sent his Son to die a cruel death on the cross, a cruel, inhumane death on the cross. Hollywood can't even illustrate how horrible it was. The Son of God, who left his home in glory, died to pay the price for your sin and my sin. Don't you think, just come on, don't you think, with love like that, God wants to see us destroyed, wants to see us go to hell?
No.
You think that's God's end game? If that was his end game, wait a minute, son, you're going to have to go. I'm just going to wipe them out. They're all going to hell.
God's end game, not willing that any should perish. Oh, praise the Lord. Not willing that any. There's hope. There's hope for each one of us this morning. There's hope. Not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. If you're struggling, do I need the baptism? And you know, I think some people know they need the baptism. But you know what it is? It's resistant. The old nature. Oh, I don't know what I got to give up. I don't know if I can make that sacrifice. I like the life I'm living. I like to be free to do the things I want to do. I don't want to feel guilt. I don't want to feel conviction. I know I should, but
You mean I got to give everything up? Not physically, not materially, spiritually. Surrender. Yield.
Ask the Lord. Lord, do I need the baptism? Go to the Word. What does the Word say? Look at the apostles before the ascension and after the ascension.
Peter cut the soldier's ear off. Oh, Lord, I'll stand with you. No, not me. They might leave you. Not me. I'm here. We're together. Three times you denied him.
Woman, you don't know what you're talking about. I don't know those people.
Wait a minute, weren't you the one with the sword?
They were in hiding behind closed doors.
No power, no anointing, no strength, afraid.
What happened after Pentecost?
Peter and John threatened by the Sanhedrin. They went back to the prayer meeting in Jerusalem. And they prayed with such power. They said the place shaken where they were praying. We know it's true. And Paul and Peter prayed, Lord, give us boldness to preach your word.
But what are you? Well, I'm a Protestant. You go to church? Yeah, I go to church. Not to be braggadocio, not to you know, look at me. I'm saying, no,
Lord, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. That's what Paul wrote. It's the truth.
It's the power of God unto salvation.
We got watered down messages in the churches today. Won't talk about sin. We don't want to offend anyone. They may not come back next Sunday, and we need the contributions. And we want to be liked by everybody. We don't want the news media to say, oh, look at this church. Oh, they're ultra-right. They're so conservative. They ostracize people. Jesus doesn't ostracize anyone.
Lord, help us. Help us in this day in which we live to be bold in a spiritual way. Boldness not of man. Not of man. But a boldness of the Spirit, because we spend time with the Lord, because the Holy Spirit is alive and well. The Holy Spirit is moving within us. It's not quenched. It's not grieved. But the Holy Spirit is thriving because we're yielding to the Spirit, and the Spirit of God is speaking through us. The Spirit of God is moving us. The Spirit of God is causing us to read the Word. The Spirit of God is causing us to kneel and pray during the day sometimes. The Spirit of God is causing us to listen to music. Glorifies God. You think that came from you? You think that came from me? Paul said it. In me dwelleth no good thing. I was a wretch. Born in the church. Never got in trouble as a kid. Always law-abiding. The only thing I remember ever doing was stealing some corn. I remember my father's road one time as a gag. It's only 3 or 4 years, so it wasn't so bad. But that didn't make me righteous or holy. I had to come to the realization I was a sinner and I needed saving. I was lost and undone. And the scales fell from my eyes spiritually. born in the church, but had to come to the foot of the cross and say, oh God, forgive me, save me, fill me with your power. And God was so gracious and so loving. Oh Lord, help us all this morning.
Amen.
Encourage us here this morning. God wants to work. He wants to bless you. His commandments are not grievous. They're only grievous when we rebel. Lord, you're not telling me what to do. Oh, okay. You think God's got your worst interest in mind? You think God wants to punish you? You think God wants to hold you back from enjoying life? Not by the evidence. God wants to give you the abundant life. See, that's the message of the enemy. You serve Jesus, oh, you got to go to church, and you got to give this up, and you got to give that up, and you got to give this, and you can't do that, and you can't do this, and you know. Or you feel guilty. That's not the message. That's bondage. Serving the flesh is bondage. We see it in the extreme cases with people that have addictions. They know it's killing them. Give me that needle. Give me that pill. They know it's killing them. You know nothing's good, you're going to cut it. Give me that smoke. It's killing me, but I can't help it. I got to have it. Give me that alcohol. I can't stay away from it. I got to have it. That's bondage. To the extreme. Bondage. When we have the Son, we have life and we have freedom. Oh, praise the Lord this morning. Lord, help us. Encourage us here this morning.
Amen.
May His name be praised. Do we have a song?